This is Canary in a Coal Mine, a Yellowbird podcast. A show about underrated, sometimes peculiar, but mostly well-meaning ways we keep safe in a risky world.
Hi, I'm Michael Zhao. I'm the founder and CEO of Yellowbird. I'm here today with Jack Geisert, the founder and president of Safety for Nonprofits. Hi, Jack. Welcome. So you're the founder of Safety for Nonprofits, right? So you started the company?
Well, that's correct. Myself and some other like-minded folks. I'm the founder in that I raised up my hand and I have continued to push it. There's a group of founders that, you know, believe in the mission. They observe the same thing. They wanted to give back. So yes, I do wear the title of founder and president.
How long ago was that? When did you get going and kick off?
It was literally sitting around a kitchen table, my kitchen table, in December of 2018.
Okay.
So there was about seven of us, and we sat around, and you know, we had all talked about it a little bit, but we actually mapped it out into three phases.
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know, we developed a roadmap. You know, the first phase was to determine if, you know, should we really do this concept of creating an organization to help nonprofits? And so we assessed that and determined that there was no other organization that was doing this kind of work and that it would fulfill a unmet need. So yeah. That was the first phase. And then we had two other phases, which was then to build the organization. And we started with incorporating, then getting our 501c3 status.
Yep.
Which is important if you're going to be a nonprofit. And then also, I have to say that our organizational structure, our governance, is very attractive to other nonprofits. We say we are a nonprofit. We get it.
Right.
We know what an IRS Form 990 is, you know, et cetera. You know, all the things, you know, I will never bother you during fundraising season, which is November and December, you know, these types of things. So, you know, anyway, that helps us in terms of the foundation, foundationally, and also approaching them and say, we understand, you know, what you're going through, that you have all kinds of competing factors. So, you know, kind of phase two was the build of the organization. That took us about 2 years. And then we were ready to launch. And always a key component of our concept of delivering these pro bono services was to be able to have professional liability insurance for our advisors who would be out helping. So that was, once we were able to form enough of our organization and have that professional liability insurance, we could then launch. So that launch occurred two years ago.
Okay.
In terms of full services, that was our phase three. And phase three includes continuous improvement. So part of that is also partnership with fine organizations like Yellowbird, and you know, trying to work with your you know, member colleagues.
I'm going to give you a little story that kind of changed my life and changed my family's life, and it's along with your mission, which is, my son hadn't really had a lot of exposure, candidly. He hadn't volunteered a lot, and for him, the scariest part of the entire journey was that you have to do a certain amount of soup kitchen and volunteer work, and you go down to Skid Row and you go down to these locations. And I'll never forget it. He was 16. He was just 16. So he was a sophomore, and he drove his car down and he went down there and he came back pie eyed. And like, I was really scared. I was really concerned. I'm like, come on, Nick, you know, it's okay. You know? And I'm like, but you know what? I'll go back with you tomorrow. Long story as long, as short as I can make it. It was an aggressive environment. You literally, everybody's sleeping along Skid Row and you're driving between, you know, folks that are unhoused. And I did 80 hours of work with him. It was the best experience. And I can tell you unequivocally, the what you get from volunteering is so much more than you give. And people say it all the time, but honestly, I hadn't done it in a long time, and I did it for him so that he could have the experience. And then I got more out of it than anybody else. So I think it's wonderful you work in that environment. So a couple of questions for you. as Yellowbird, we love to give back. Like, we do all kinds of volunteering here because of the type of thing I just talked about. You know, can you tell me in just kind of an elevator pitch or high level, if somebody says, what does Safety for Nonprofits do? You know, can you give me like just the quick rundown of how you would answer that question?
Absolutely. Yeah. Safety for Nonprofits helps other nonprofits be better and safer. And our focus is worker health and safety. And we do that through volunteers as pro bono, no gimmick. We're giving back to the community.
Love it. The responsibility of a nonprofit from a safety and responsibility perspective in comparison to a for-profit company, how is it different? Or is it exactly the same and just less resources?
Yeah, so nonprofits are an artifact or the result of an IRS ruling that says you act in the public benefit. So that enables the nonprofit to attract donations, which people can deduct, but they still have employees. I mean, there's 11 million employees in nonprofits across the US. So a lot of these are in the healthcare sector, especially, you know, hospitals and such.
Yes.
The majority of the nonprofits, especially the small ones, have very few resources and such. But regardless, their employees still potentially, depending on the scope of the operations, if you're doing house builds, you're going to be at a higher risk than sitting in an office talking to someone on a phone, hopefully. So it really just kind of depends. But they still have that duty to take care of their employees under all of the states. Volunteers, however, it's kind of a mixed bag. Under the OSHA regulations, volunteers are not covered because they're not employees of the employer.
Right.
And however, if there's a state program such as California, Oregon, Alaska, some others, you can choose to cover volunteer workers under your worker health and safety regulations. So, you know, that's unfortunately, a lot of the smaller nonprofits really don't understand what's involved. And also there's kind of a silence within the nonprofit sector. I mean, literally it is crickets in the nonprofit sector in general. They just don't talk about health and safety. They kind of think, oh, someone else is taking care of it. And, you know, frankly, it's why once a week on average in the United States, a volunteer doing volunteer work is killed doing that volunteer work. So we're trying to change that equation.
In the United States, 11 million people are working and associated with not-for-profits. What are the big safety risks that are causing people to lose lives or get injured?
Really, the number one cause of fatal accidents, and unfortunately, OSHA, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, has only looked at fatalities because they don't have an ability to look at lesser injuries, but it's transportation incidents.
Okay.
And that really mirrors exactly the general industry experience in terms of fatal accidents. So, you know, motor vehicle safety, transportation accidents, injuries are the number one cause. So that's one of our portfolio offerings is driver safety.
Yes, we do as well. And not in the not-for-profit, but I can tell you from a National Safety Council perspective, we have a lot of relationships there and so forth. One of their core missions this year is to make awareness of distracted driving and transportation risk, and specifically how you can keep your people aware of highway and other types of transportation injuries. That does not surprise me one bit. And I agree with you. I hadn't actually thought about that because I'm always surprised that transportation is not on the top of the list just because of the number of moving parts, right?
Yeah, I mean, the other, and again, when you look across the, not, and again, this hasn't really been researched.
Right.
And this is part, one of our goals also is to influence the Bureau of Labor Statistics and NIOSH to do more work on this, to better understand the injuries and illnesses that occur so that hopefully we don't have the fatalities, just so we can raise awareness and then target the intervention. So, slips and falls are always a major issue.
Yes.
If you're doing repairs on a house with a Habitat affiliate,
yes,
you know, fall from height is a major focus area. Not to, you know, again, Habitat has some great programs from what we've seen, but I can tell you that at the furniture bank that I consult with, you know, fall from height, box trucks, getting in and out of a box truck, and also the hazard of falls off of loading docks. And I mentioned loading docks.
Oh, yes.
So, and also ladder work, you know. So, you know, these are perhaps not dissimilar to the kinds of hazards that are faced in for-profit organizations. It all depends on, you know, what is the scope of the work? So you need to, you know, so one of the things we offer is that end-to-end risk assessment, identify right. the hazards, perform job safety analysis,
yes,
and understand the risks in your operations. This is what we tell people. And then based on a priority basis, we will help you work down the residual risk to a level that is acceptable and meets standard.
So do you, when you have a circumstance that you don't have a volunteer locally, do you train people that are within the organization on how to do these things themselves to give the best, do the best they can? Do you choose not to go that route just because it's really hard if you're not a trained safety professional to actually be able to do this?
Okay. Yeah. So while we have volunteers that come from we have some volunteers out of the software side of the house and others, but most really the core of our volunteers are the occupational environmental health and safety professionals.
Yes.
So they bring with us their credentialing. We have a vetting process, but it's, you know, it's really dependent on understanding and working with, you know, knowing the community that's delivering the service. And we always have our quality control system is a buddy system.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have a paid quality department. Okay. So, you know, this is what we do is peer technical review. You know, by example, we had a request from a nonprofit on the Navajo Nation recently in Arizona, in Castle Rock. And this is a grassroots organization that was starting to perform community cleanups of non-hazardous waste. They also are building things like showers because a lot of the community does not have electricity and water. And in order for them to operate as a nonprofit, they need written programs. Now, we didn't have anyone local in Castle Rock who was a volunteer, but we put out the request, and this was virtual support for them. And we had about 8 volunteers who came forward. Actually, we even had one of our volunteers from Ghana volunteer to help write programs. So they wrote their programs and delivered it to them in 2 weeks. And the client is very happy. Now they'll be able to move into the next phase of building their safety program.
Love it. Love it. So from a best practices perspective for an early stage company, and an early stage not-for-profit business particularly, you know, is there any best practices and things that you think could at least get them started in the right direction? Like, you know, what kind of the business for dummies safety version, right?
Yeah, so it's all the basic stuff that is out there. There's nothing new or unique. It's first of all, you know, the policy and the communicating it and demonstrating that you care about your people. That will make as much difference as anything. And then you get into what we recommend is the technical assessment with an expert safety and health professional who can help identify both obvious as well as hidden hazards, and then quantify the risk level relative to the controls that are there. So help an organization understand what their risk profile is. And then from there, you know, you have a list of priorities, and then you have to meet with the decision makers and the people who control the money. And
right.
you give a plan. This isn't just an academic exercise. This is about helping them be better and safer. So then what we do is, you know, help them identify what their priorities are and what they can make a difference on. And we support them in the way that makes sense for them.
From a responsibility perspective of employers, particularly for not-for-profit organizations, do they have the same liabilities and, you know, personal responsibility, governance responsibility for their people who come that are paid employees? Do they have the same? You mentioned OSHA is on employees, but some of those folks are volunteer. How does that change for the leaders?
It gets a little bit complicated, but I'll just start off with the moral argument, which is, I mean, I think all of our volunteers believe that safe and healthful working conditions are a fundamental human right. And so if you start from that basis and you just say, you know, you don't want people to get hurt. And we know that there are things that we can do the way we run this organization to do that. And then, you know, yes, there are differences in terms of the legal responsibilities. Again, as I mentioned, in some states, volunteers are covered by the state OSHA regulations and workers' comp. Mm-hmm. In other states, they are not. You know, one of the things, and it's a patchwork of regulations. So it really depends on what state and what area. But I mean, honestly, if, you know, someone is wondering whether or not, you know, they're, you know, they need to worry about, you know, their legal liability, you know, putting someone up on the roof unprotected where they can fall to their death or something. You know, if they're only doing it because the law says they have to do it, then we don't want to work with them, frankly. And so we, you know, basically the clients that we work with are the ones who care. And if they're in legal trouble, if they've been cited by OSHA, they've had a fatality, a serious incident, we're going to suggest that they reach out and hire a fee-for-service consultant, an expert from Yellowbird or one of the other consulting firms.
Sure.
You know, so we're just not, you know, we're not positioned to work with those companies that are in a legal mess. And we have a whole module in terms of, you know, responsibilities and, you know, in terms of legal compliance and such with nonprofits. Someone has a horrible accident, their life is going to be changed forever. The organization's going to be, it's just never going to be the same. It's horrible. And so this is really, you know, what we want to do is work with nonprofits who want to take care of worker health and safety before something bad happens.
Something that I'm a big proponent of and believe every single one of our surveys, every assessment, every inspection has to start with a mindset of safety excellence and kudos. Because I really believe that the problem with our industry is that people are there, yes, to find areas of problem, but there's so many things done right as well. And if you take somebody who goes in with a mindset of finding people doing great things, and you know what, a couple areas that we could improve, but you know what, you're doing a great job and you really care about your employees, it changes everything. And absolutely, the whole, you don't want people to die, do you? No, that's not the tone. The tone is you're doing some great stuff. This could be a hazard. And you know, at the end of the day, we want your employees and your volunteers and your people to be safe. So I'm going to close out here real fast and say, first and foremost, thank you, Jack. Really. I really have enjoyed this. We appreciate your partnership. I'm looking forward to working with you in the future. And if our listeners are interested in learning more about, you know, safety for nonprofits, where do they go?
They go to our website, you know, www.s4np.org.
Okay.
Or you can type in safety for nonprofits.
That's the number 4np.org. Okay, got it.
Right.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you again. Jack, it's been such a pleasure.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
A special thank you to our Canary Club sponsors, Columbia Southern University, Safety for Nonprofits, Salute Safety, Billy for Insurance, Arizona Chapter of NSC, and Veriforce. Yellowbird supports intelligence and compliance solutions at scale through its EHS tech platform. Learn more at goyellowbird.com to get started for free.